This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, the topic of my khutbah is how to beat sadness, how to get over sadness. Last week I told you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited sadness. Now that sounds unreasonable and you might say I don't want to feel sad, but I do. So why is sadness prohibited? We are conditioned to see emotions as good or bad, positive or negative. The reality is that emotions are value neutral. They are neither positive nor negative. But what we do with the emotion can make it positive or negative. So while we don't have control over the emotion itself, we do have complete control over what we choose to do thereafter, after we feel that emotion. For example, people say, don't get angry. Now, that is as unreasonable as saying don't get hungry or don't feel thirsty. In Ramadan, however, we feel hungry and thirsty, but we choose to ignore that to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we may feel angry with someone, but we choose to control our anger for the same reason, for the pleasure of Allah. Someone may come to us with gossip, or we may have the urge to backbite someone and slander someone, but we stop ourselves because backbiting is destructive, and like all destructive things, it is haram. In the case of sadness and grief, to feel it shows that we are human and that our hearts are alive. But to allow ourselves to get bogged down in it is our choice. We can equally easily choose to break out of it. For example, upon facing bereavement, when we lose a loved one, we can either fall into depression or despair, or we can choose to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having granted us the company of that friend for the duration that we were together. We can recall and relive the beautiful memories of our time together and pray for them and give charity to benefit them. If we lose our job, we can choose to see it as an opportunity to become entrepreneurs, which most people in jobs declare to be their aspirational goal, but do nothing to achieve it until one day they find themselves looking at their office building from the outside without their passkey. If we face a financial loss, for example, or lose a relationship, which is far more serious than financial loss, we can choose to analyze what went wrong and learn lessons from it to prevent it happening a second time. In all these cases and more, we will feel sad, but what we choose to do with that sadness will spell the difference between happiness and gaining wisdom or wasting a life opportunity. Sadness is prohibited for two other reasons. When our sadness turns morbid and is more than is normal in a situation, it means that we have not recognized the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, where he said, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, whatever you have will end, whatever you have will perish, whatever you have will finish. But whatever is with Allah is everlasting. And we will certainly reward the steadfast according to the best of their deeds. Now, question to ask is, how can you grieve or regret losing something that didn't belong to you in the first place, that you didn't own in the first place? It was not yours. So how can you say that you lost it? You were given, you had been given that thing that individual, that person, their life, their experience in trust as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a specific period of time, temporarily. When that period ended, it went back to its real owner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is also our owner, and to whom we will also return one day. When we remember this, loss turns to gain, and sadness turns to gratitude. You become thankful for what you had instead of feeling sad for what you lost. The second bigger problem with prolonged sadness is that it takes away the desire to go forward in life. If you allow yourself to fall into that trap, you become morose, withdrawn, and depressed. This is unique to sadness. With other emotions which are considered negative, it doesn't happen. Anger, for example, can energize you to solve a problem or to ensure that a criminal is punished. Fear is a universal motivator to greater effort, and in the right dose, it brings the world around you alive. I recall with great happiness my wanderings in Indian and South American jungles, home to tigers and leopards and bears and elephants and jaguars and anacondas and other highly dangerous animals. But being in the forest always made me feel more alive and aware and appreciate my surroundings, and gave me tremendous confidence in my own ability to survive. As you can see, I did. The presence of danger is a great motivator because your life is at stake. You will never have that feeling when you look at the same animal in a zoo. This is what motivates entrepreneurs, for example, to take risks. It also motivates people who do what are called extreme sports. It's the actual physical possibility of dying and the way that you have to pit your body and your mind against the odds of the environment, against the odds of whatever you're doing in order to survive. That's the biggest thrill. Entrepreneurs also take risks, and these risks are motivated. One of the principal factors is fear. It's the possibility of loss which paradoxically motivates a person to put himself or herself in a situation where it can become real. It is a race against odds which is so heady and exciting. As anyone who is about to start a very difficult and potentially life-threatening climb up a mountain, ask them if they feel any fear. They do. They said, yes, we do feel, but we do feel the fear. But that not only motivates them, but keeps them safe. Those who have no fear die. This will suffice to show how different so-called negative emotions have positive effects. The exception is sadness. Sadness, if you allow it, drags you down into a spiral of anxiety and depression and despair. If you read the seerah of Rasulullah, you can see places where Rasulullah was sad. He was very sad. But he was never depressed and never despaired. He always had hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and looked forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, which always came. We must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to help, and His promise is always true. Allah never lets you down. The timing of the help, however, is according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, which is superior to ours. That is why we must do our best and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the rest. The finest example of this sequence of sabr and tawakkul is the actions of Rasulullah before the battle of Badr, a battle which was potentially a differentiator between survival of the nascent Muslim community and its annihilation. Rasulullah made all preparations for the battle with limited resources that he had. Then he stood in salah and begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. He was not complacent about preparing his material resources to face the lethal conflict. He did not rely simply on prayer. Neither did he allow his material preparations to make him feel overconfident. He put his situation before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows and who can see. But it is the position of the abd, of the slave, to beg his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And so he did. The rest is history. and Badr became the foundation of success. Tests are not unusual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to test us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِيكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّا نَصَرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, do you think that you will be admitted into Jannah without being tested like those before you? They were afflicted with suffering and adversity and were so violently shaken that even the messenger and believers with him cried out, when will the help of Allah come? Mata Nasrullah. Indeed, and this is Allah answering, indeed Allah's help is always near. In a beautiful hadith narrated by Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu, he said, we complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the persecution inflicted on us. While he was sitting sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the shade of the Kaaba, leaning over his burd, his covering his mishlaf, we said to him, would you seek help for us? Please make dua for us. He said, among the nations before you, a believing man would be put in a ditch that was dug for him, and a saw would be placed over his head, and he would be cut into two pieces. Yet that torture would not make him give up his religion. His body would be combed with iron combs that would remove his flesh from the bones and nerves. Yet that would not make him abandon his religion. By Allah, this religion, that is Islam, will prevail until a traveler from Sana'a, which is in Yemen, to Hadramaut, will fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a wolf regarding his sheep. But you people are hasty. SubhanAllah. This Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu was one of the first of the Sahaba among the Sabiqun al-Awwalun, inshaAllah, who was a beautiful Qari of the Quran, whose recitation Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu heard in the house of his sister Fatima and accepted Islam. We understand from this that tests and difficulties and trials are a part of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted us and taught us how to deal with difficulties. He said, Jalla Jalaluhu, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَانَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَانَا فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Tawbah, which means it does not matter, he's addressing the people, the believers and Muslims, he says it does not matter if you believers do not support him, yani Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did in fact support him already when the disbelievers drove him out of Makkah. And he was only one of two. The second one was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who Allah is mentioning, one of two, yani the other one is also mentioned in this ayah. He was only one of two. While they both were in the cave, he reassured his companion, do not worry, for Allah is certainly with us. Do not worry, do not feel sad. La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his serenity, his sukoon, upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and supported him with forces you believers did not see, and made the word of the disbelievers, that is his enemies, lowest, while the word of Allah is supreme. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all wise. In this Ayatul Karima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the time when Rasulullah and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu were together in the Ghar Thawr, the cave of Thawr, being pursued by the enemy. The Quraysh came right up to the mouth of the cave such that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu could see their feet. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they only look down, they will see us. And Rasulullah replied, La tahzan, inna allaha ma'ana, have no fear or sadness. Truly Allah is with us. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was content. The rest is history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered them safely to Medina and the world changed. Many years later, during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, after the passing away of Rasulullah and the wars of Ridda, people asked Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu how he could be so calm and serene when literally the survival of Islam was at stake. He said, After that night in Ghar al-Thawr, I have never been afraid or sad. The lesson we learn, my brothers and sisters, is that when faced with loss or the fear of loss, we do what is most natural and logical, which is to turn to the only one who can help us and who is not affected by that situation. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ